Very pleasant. Good morning to each of you who are here this morning. We're thankful for those who are visiting with us. Thankful for each one who is here. It is certainly appropriate for any preacher to teach his congregation or the congregation for which he works what his job is. It may sound a bit odd to you, but it is. Not only is it appropriate, but it is oftentimes necessary. Inasmuch as you have hired me to be the preacher, located preacher at this congregation, you should know what my responsibilities are. I know what they are, and you need to know what they are too, so that you expect of me all that is required of me, and so that you understand my job, so that when I perform my job, you won't be surprised. Sometimes congregations are surprised when the preacher does his job, and they don't like that very much, but we're going to learn something about that this morning. I want to begin in 2 Timothy. We're going to notice especially those things which are somewhat peculiar or particular to the preacher. I am, of course, required to follow all that which God has commanded any Christian to do. That I am to live a righteous life before God, that I am to fulfill all that His Word teaches me to do. I am required to love the Lord my God with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, and all my strength, to love my neighbor as myself. I am to be ready to every good work. I am to sanctify the Lord God in my heart and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks of me the reason of the hope that is in me. I am to observe the Lord's Supper. I am to honor the Christ. I am to worship each first day of the week. I am to be subject to the eldership of the congregation just as anyone else would be, or to the faithful men who are in leadership positions of the congregation. All of those things, we can go on and on. Be ready to communicate good things unto others. I'm to do good unto all men, especially unto them of the household of faith, at every opportunity that I have. But there are certain things that I am to do as a preacher of the gospel. Certain jobs that I am charged by the Bible to do. Begin in 2 Timothy 4 and begin looking here. Of course, Paul, in writing to Timothy, both the first and second letters, and to Titus, all of these two men, Titus and Timothy, both preachers. Timothy obviously was much at Paul's feet. He traveled with Paul. He was taught by Paul. There's no doubt that Timothy was a very fine gospel preacher. There's no doubt about it. Paul said that he was, a very fine young man. And there's little doubt that, at least of all the record that we have of Timothy, that he was a faithful gospel preacher. And there were certain things that Paul told him to do that were peculiar to him as a preacher, as one who would be teaching and preaching to the people. And we begin in chapter 4, verse 1, where Paul says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom. Well, Timothy, that's why I'm telling you these things. That's why the charge goes forth from me unto you, because God will judge us both. He will judge me if I do not give you this command and this charge, and He will judge you if you do not fulfill it. The Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the quick and the dead, that is the alive and the perished, at His appearing in His kingdom. Coming of the kingdom of heaven, of course. Now here's the charge. Preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. With what? All long-suffering and doctrine. What are you supposed to do, Timothy? First of all, you are to declare the unadulterated, holy message of God. Preach the Word. Don't preach your opinion. Don't preach someone else's doctrine. Preach the Word of God. Preach that, and that only. Now, he says, be instant in season and out of season. You're a preacher 24/7, Timothy. You're to be ready always, when it's convenient, when it's inconvenient, when it seems likely, when it doesn't seem likely, no matter what happens, when situations come and when they go. At all times, instant in season and out of season, at a time, at this time or that time. At all times, be ready. Be ready, preach the Word always. What is he telling Timothy? It doesn't make any difference what winds of doctrine come about, how the church changes, what people do. in any given congregation or in the church, the universal, the world over. You're to continue preaching the Word, no matter what. You're not to change. Continue to preach the Word. Now, there are three things that are to be done by this preaching. He is to reprove, he is to rebuke, and he is to exhort. When people are astray, you tell them that it's wrong. You know, there's some preachers who won't do that. They're afraid to step on someone's toes. I don't like conflict, but I love God more. And so I'll teach the Word. I try to be as tactful as I can be, but I'm going to teach the Word. Try to use the best judgment I can about when it's time to be harsh and when it's not. And I try for it to be the very last thing before I go full bore. Especially on brethren who are not as well versed in the Scriptures. I don't hold back as much when it's another preacher. We have men, and you can see this, I've taught you the lessons, the sermons, the manuscripts that I've written. I don't pull punches with those brethren. A lot of those fellows have been in Christ a lot longer than I have. But they don't care enough about the Lord to be right. They know what's right, and they've left it. I'm not going to pull punches. They can handle it. They should be able to, so they're going to get it. They're going to receive the Word. I'm not going to be gentle with them because they don't. That's not the way to do those things. But with other brethren who may not know, who are less educated, I'm going to be more gentle with them until I have to be otherwise. Reproving, rebuking. Will you receive rebuke? I have to receive rebuke from the Word, and so do you. If that Word comes from my mouth, you have to receive it just the same as I have to receive it if God's Word rebukes me. That is, when God's Word says that what you're doing is wrong, you change. If you're not willing to change, then you're rebellious against God's Word. Simple as that. So am I. When I study to teach these things to you or to anyone else, if they rebuke me for my error and I refuse it, then I rebel against God. I am to teach you reproof and rebuke. And I'm also to exhort you, to edify you, to lift you up, to tell you of the great home which we have for the faithful. Think about the entire book of Revelation. The whole message is that the faithful win. It doesn't make any difference what happens to you in this life. The faithful win. A great and wonderful thing that God has laid up in store for us. And all made possible through the Christ. We live with heaven before our view, before our eyes, as our great hope. This great calling which we have through the gospel that God has laid before us, heaven. We live with that hope every day. That's what brings us forward. Our hope of heaven, our love of God, our love of our neighbor, and our love of self. And I've taught that before. Do you love yourself enough to be concerned enough about yourself to make sure that you get to heaven? And are you concerned enough about someone else to teach them? That's our charge. I am to teach you those things. I am to exhort you, to build you up, to keep telling you, you can do it. 1 John 5, verse 13, these things have I written unto you, that you might know that you have eternal life. John, why did you say that? Because it is possible to know and be absolutely certain that you are going to heaven. It's my job to exhort you with words such as those. You can go to heaven. You can make it all the way and be right before God. And you can live righteously in this life and be right and do right and bring other souls unto Christ. You can live righteously and pleasing to God. You can do it. I have to tell you where you're in error so that you get rid of your error, because that will keep you out of heaven. And exhort you and lay before you heaven to help you to have the impetus, to lay before you the impetus of putting away those sins. Is heaven worth enough to you to get rid of all of your selfishness and inhumility and sin? Is it worth enough for you to do that? That's what I continually have to charge the brethren with. Preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. Now notice what he says here. I'm to do all this with long suffering and doctrine. I have to be patient. And brethren, I admit sometimes that's a little bit difficult. I sometimes wonder, when I'm teaching someone, I sometimes wonder, why didn't you know this? Or why are you not understanding? Sometimes that goes through my mind a little bit. I have to put that away. It's my job to teach. It's my job to be patient. It's my job to be long-suffering. suffereth long. I have to suffer, be patient with the brethren. For them to grow and mature. That's part of the job of a preacher. My job as a preacher, I have to do that. And I hope that others who are more mature in Christ than me will be long-suffering with me. I hope that the brethren will be long-suffering toward me. None of this means that I know it all, because I don't. I truly don't. But I study God's Word, and I teach it, and I preach it. And that's what I will do, because God tells me I must. And so I suffer long with the doctrine. I'm patient. I teach, and I teach, and I teach. When problems come forward, what do? I teach the Word. Someone comes to me and asks me, I have this problem, what do? What does the book say? How do you handle it according to the Word of God? That's what I teach, because that's what God tells me I must. And I believe that my particular job as the preacher of this congregation is to teach you, to help you learn how to do your work. I'm in the trenches along with you, but you hired me to be your preacher. I'm to teach you, to help prepare you to fight the good fight of faith. That's my job. You might think of my work as that which helps to enable you to do your work, just so far as my part is concerned. Each one of us is an individual. Each one of us is accountable for our own actions. But that's why you hired me, to help you, to teach you, to preach to you, to teach you the Word of God. That is my job, and I will do it. I have to do it. Otherwise, I'm not pleasing to God. Jeremiah tells us that the Word of God, he was a prophet, the weeping prophet for God. He lived through a time when he was teaching people and they didn't care about God's Word. And he decided one time that he would just forbear. He would stop preaching. He said that the Word was in his bones as fire, and he said he could not forbear. He could not stay. But the Word had to come out. Well, so it is with a true preacher of the gospel. You're so full of the Word and you realize the importance of it in the world that you can't keep it in. The old-time teachers, that were the teachers who were teaching preaching students, they would ask them, okay, brother so-and-so, you want to be a preacher, eh? Well, I'll ask you this question, can you do anything else? And they needed to say, no. No, brother, I can't do anything else. You know what he meant by the question? It's because you're so full of the Word that you can't do anything but preach it. It's sort of like you get so full and you just wait for somebody to come by and poke you and it just pours out. That's what it's like. You're ready to jump up out of your seat and hit this pulpit and hit the ground running. Teach the people. Here's what you need to know. Let's get into the Word. Get rid of everything else that gets in the way. Get rid of it. Self, the world, greed, every sin, throw it away. Hit the ground running, working for the Lord. Because I know that that's what it takes in order to be pleasing to God. And according to this, I have to teach you to do that. That's my job. And I love it. Preaching is the most noble job on the face of the planet. There isn't a higher occupation for any person than to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. But the preacher who will not preach the unadulterated Word is a sorry individual. Sorry. He really is. He, spiritually speaking, he is. He really is. Someone who knows what's right and refuses to preach it. I'm not talking about brethren who don't know. They're trying. I'm talking about somebody who knows the Word, and because of greed, because of selfishness, pride, that they won't teach it. They know it, but they won't teach it. They will suffer for that if they repent not. That's a very terrible way. Very terrible way. So you need to know what God expects of me as your preacher. Teach. He goes on in these verses, verse 3, For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Oh, really, Paul? Oh, yes. It was happening in his day, and it's certainly here today. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, because they have itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. He tells Timothy here, but watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. I have to be patient. I have to be strong. I have to be willing to take the persecution. And brethren and friends, preachers who preach the gospel are persecuted. Paul tells Timothy in another place here, yea, and all they that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You've got to be willing to take it. Take it in love. Keep preaching. In all of this, when afflictions come, you reprove, you rebuke, you exhort, suffering long with the doctrine. That's how you suffer those things, endure them. Do the work of an evangelist. Teach the word. Spread the euangelion, the good news of Jesus Christ. That's what the word gospel means. Evangelist, a spreader of the good news. And so that's what I do. Make full proof of thy ministry. Do it to the full. Prove it all the way. Do all the work. Make full proof of thy ministry. Paul tells Timothy what he can look forward to if he's faithful. And so do I, if I be faithful. And woe unto me if I preach not the gospel of Jesus Christ. So Paul said, and so I say today. And so it is with every faithful gospel preacher. I should be able to say, for I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. That is, when my time of departure is here. I want to be able to say what Paul says next. I have fought a good fight. It is my job to fight the good fight of the faith. For your sakes and for my sake. I have finished my course. That which was set before me as a gospel preacher, I am to finish. I am to do. That I might be an example before you to help you finish your course. That's why I run this race. That's why I finish my course, is to help you learn how to run your race. I'm going to go to heaven because I'll do whatever it takes to get there. And by my life, I can help to show you the way in which you should live. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ, Paul said. And I noticed that this morning in the Bible class. If I can't say that as a gospel preacher, there's something wrong. I'm not fulfilling my job that you've hired me to do, and which God has set me in to do, which is more important. This congregation can come, this congregation can go. I may come, I may go. Whatever the case may be as time goes forward, but I'm going to keep preaching the gospel. I will until I can't anymore. By death or physical hindrance in some way, I will continue to preach the gospel because I am fully convinced that God requires me to do it. If I stop preaching, woe unto me. I sin. And so, I must fight the good fight. I must finish my course. I have defended or kept the faith. Am I a defender of the faith? I must be for your sakes and for my sake. Yes, I am a defender of the faith. I am defending it now, even as I speak before you this morning. I will continue and grow that I might be a more able defender of the truth because Christ died for me. And it is His Word that saves. And only the unadulterated and pure, holy gospel of Christ that will save anybody. And so I defend that because I want others to go to heaven. I want you to go to heaven. And I want to go to heaven. Here's the great hope for Paul, for Timothy, for you, for me. If we be faithful. For henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me. You see, the Lord is a righteous judge. Acts 17, 30 and 31. God hath appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained. And He gave assurance of this judgment and of His righteousness because He hath raised Him from the dead. As surely as God raised Christ from the dead, Christ is a righteous judge and shall judge us. That's what Paul said as he began. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing. Can you love the gospel enough to give it your all? I hope so. I hope and pray that you will. Crown of righteousness, who the Lord shall give, or what the Lord shall give to those who are faithful. To me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. That's what I'm trying to teach you. That's what I'm trying to teach you. Paul also told Timothy that he was to be an example of the believers in every way. To be pure, to be righteous, to do all of those things. We notice here, 2 Timothy 2, notice what he says in verse 2. I'm rapidly running out of time. He says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." That's my job, to teach you so that you can teach someone else. "And I am to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." You see, when I became a child of God, I enlisted. I was talking to my dad yesterday about this very thing. And he said, he made mention of what the old timers used to say, how when they enlisted, how long were they in the military? What did they say? "For the duration." How long are you in for, son? "I'm in for the duration." My brethren and friends, I'm in for the duration. And it stops when you die or the Lord comes back. Ephesians chapter 6, you take up that armor. God expects you to keep your armor on until He says you can take it off. I put the armor on. And I'm learning day by day how to use it more effectively. Especially my sword, which is the Word of God. And I'm not going to take my armor off. And I'm going to encourage you every day to do the same. Keep your armor on. You know, if you look through that in Ephesians chapter 6, there's no armor for the back. If you turn your back on God, you're a spiritual coward. You have to turn around and fight again before you're protected. Keep your armor on, brethren. Keep fighting. Never give up. Never give up. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Christ. He says here in the next verse, verse 4, "No man that warreth," who is a soldier, "entangleth himself in the affairs of this life, that it may please Him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." You wear the armor of God. He is the one who has put you into that office. You don't get entangled in the pursuits of this life. That's worldly things. The things that are not befitting a soldier. I remember in a movie I saw a long time ago, one soldier to another, the older soldier had died. One of the finest things that that man could say about the other, and again, this is in the world speaking this way, so there's, you can take it for what it means. He said that this man was a valiant soldier and a Christian gentleman. That's a very high praise for any man. And you can apply that to your service in Christ. Valiant soldier of Christ. Full of courage. Not that you're without fear. But you believe in Christ, who stands with the faithful. And so you're faithful unto the end, because it is Christ who fights for His children. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Christ. Very quickly, turn now to the book of Ezekiel. Here's another duty that I have. It's sometimes unpleasant. one with which I struggle sometimes because I want to do this correctly, but do it I must. This is often not easy, but I have this responsibility. Ezekiel chapter 3, God gave a charge to Ezekiel, his prophet, where he said, "Son of man." He said that because Ezekiel was a human being. "Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning." From whom? From me. "When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand." Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 17 beginning. Brethren and friends, I am charged as a preacher of the gospel of Christ to be a watchman over this congregation. And, in this sense now, and over all men, for that matter, that is, to preach and teach the gospel. We live in a lost and dying world. I realize that every sin that I have, or you have, or any other person has, will cause them to be separated from God, that is, eternal punishment in hell, if they will not repent of it before they die, or the Lord comes again, Isaiah 59:1-2. 2 Thessalonians 1:7-9. "And therefore I am charged to be a watchman, to warn, to give them warning from me." That's from God. How do you do that? "Reproving, rebuking, and exhorting with all longsuffering and doctrine." Now you realize that many people will not take this. When a preacher tries to discharge this and he has to tell the person who is in sin that this is error, you know what they do? They try to destroy the preacher. Bring the message and then kill the messenger. Oh, that's done over and over again. The preacher is faithful, and sometimes it's the eldership that's the worst of all if they're corrupt. They destroy the preacher because he dared to do what God told Ezekiel to do. That's my job. To warn. Give them warning from me. Now notice verse 19, Ezekiel 3. Here's my charge. Continued. "Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity." What he's saying here is the man that was warned, it's your decision. When I preach and teach the Word, it's going to be ultimately your decision whether you heed it or not. I can't make you. I can plead with you, I can pray with you and for you, and I can teach you and teach you and teach you and teach you until the last breath in my body. But it's your decision whether you do it or not. I can live a life as close to perfection as I can possibly live and be an example of righteousness before you, but it's your decision whether you live righteously or not. And I hope and pray that you do what's right in all men, that they do what is right. Now notice the last part of verse 19, "But thou hast delivered thy soul." If I desire to be pleasing to God, I have to realize that I have to preach the gospel. This is exactly the same thing that Paul told Timothy. God had set Paul a watchman over the church in a special capacity as an apostle. And then Paul told Timothy, "You, sir, also are a watchman. Warn them. Teach them. Be an example. Warn them in word, warn them in deed." And warning is also teaching. When I'm talking to a faithful brother or sister in Christ and exhorting them, I'm still warning them of that which is to come, because I'm teaching them what's right, teaching them about heaven. But when it comes down to the fact, the time when I have to say, "This is wrong, and here is why," that's also part of my job. You should understand that. You may wonder, "John, why did you preach a sermon like this?" Because I know good brethren. who have lost their jobs as preachers because the congregation didn't understand his job. He did it, and they didn't like it, and they fired him. It's happened a lot, brethren. But the worst thing is not that the preacher got fired. He moves on to another place. But it's what happened to the brethren that are left, that remain. They won't heed the warning. And if they don't repent, they'll lose their souls. What you need to know is that I'm in this with you. I'm in this with you. And that's why you hired me, to help you, to teach you, to encourage you, to pray with you and for you, to help you in every way I can, and so I do. And I hope it can be more and more. We'll all grow. We're learning in this congregation how to be good soldiers of Christ. We're learning because the persecutions will only get worse. Because the more that you know and the more that you fight, the more fights that there are. We are in warfare, brethren, every day. I'm no more a leader than any of the other faithful men in this congregation. But it is my job to help you and to teach you. Some of you have asked some pretty hard questions of me at times, things that are pretty difficult. And I've been very encouraged by this congregation. I am proud of you very much. You are a good congregation, and that's not said about many in the brotherhood today. You are trying. You're going forward. And that's all that anyone could do. That's what I do every day. Seek the Word of God and His righteousness and do it. That's what you should do also. I hope that we have learned something today, that we might be strengthened. I haven't talked about your duty. I haven't talked about how to become a Christian. Much of what I said is applicable to the person who's not a preacher. Just as looking at 1 Timothy 3 and Titus chapter 1, the qualifications of an elder is very much the same qualifications for a faithful Christian. Same thing applies. You're to teach others. I'm to teach others also, but especially teaching and helping you. That's my job. And I pray God that I will always do that as I should. I hope that you'll pray for me also in that capacity, just as I pray for you. If you're here today and you're not a member of the Lord's church, you need to be one. You need to become a faithful child of God by rendering obedience to the gospel. If you haven't done that, you need to. By hearing and believing the Word of God, Romans 10, verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Repenting of your sins, Luke 13, 3 and 5, Acts 2 and verse 38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Confessing your faith in Christ. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Acts 8 and verse 37, so the eunuch said. Romans 10, 9 and 10, Matthew 10, 32 and 33. Confession is necessary in order for one to be saved. And then being baptized into Christ for remission of sins. Again, Acts 2, 38. Acts 22, 16. Romans 6, 1 through 6. Multiplicity of other passages as well. Have you done those things? I hope so. If you haven't, you need to. You must. If you have and you're not faithful, you need to get right and be faithful. You also are soldiers of Christ. Fight the good warfare. Keep the armor on. Study the Word. Be faithful. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Christ. Serve the Master and not the self. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation this morning, now is the opportune time. Now as we stand and as we sing.